Let me begin, while there's still ink left in my pen, I'm set to contend, for truth you can bet will offend, deception within, the church man who's letting them in, we talked about this years ago, let's address it again, yeah, and I ain't really trying to start beef, but some who claim to be part of the sheep got some sharp teeth, and cats get mean when you criticize them, but Jesus told us Matthew 7:16, we can recognize them.
Hello and welcome to Clearly Speaking. I am TC Cook here with Dr. Nicholas Dahl. Hey, Nick, how's it going, man?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys know this, but we record these at 5:30 in the morning. So both of us have kids. We have things that we got to do. Nick works from home. We discussed that last week. So we wake up super early to get in here and to get this done. One, because we just feel like, hey, it's needed. And two, we just like talking to each other. So it gives us a chance that we can kind of digress and dialogue. But Nick, you are in an interesting place this morning. Are you on vacation or what's going on?
Yes, I'm on vacation in a little place called Magdeburg, Germany. For those who like, that's a big church there in the middle of Magdeburg.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about Magdeburg. I don't even know if I said that right, but we're going to be talking about that later on. So last week or last month, we went through. We talked about why clearly speaking is so important. Why speaking clearly, no, letting your yes be yes, your no be no. Why it's important. And I think this what we're going to be talking about this week is going to tie right into that because with COVID-19, with the people call it the plandemic, with the scare, with things. And again, me and Nick aren't saying that it's not real. Like, yes, COVID-19 is a real thing. But one of the, I think, positive things that has brought out is it makes us, or at least Christians, most of us, it's making us dive into the Word and really, really see what in the world are we to do during this time. Because we have people who are, we have governments who are kind of seeming like they're using this as a power grab. We have churches who are shutting down and literally probably aren't going to ever open their doors again because they're obeying kind of some of the laws of the land. And so I think the biggest question that most people have is what in the world do we do with this? What do we do with government? What do we do with ourselves? What do we do with our churches whenever maybe it doesn't seem like it's lining up to God's word? What's the problem here? And so what Nick and I are going to dive into is kind of, it'll be like when we get to the Magdeburg Confession, which if you guys haven't looked that up, look that up. That's a really good one called the Lesser Magistrate. And that's the title of this one, is the Lesser Magistrate. But we also feel like it's good that we kind of go through the governments. God literally has set up governments for us and for his good. And that is purely biblical. He has it. But he also, when he does this, he sets it up with boundaries, just like everything. We think of Garden of Eden, right? He gave them everything except for that one tree. There's boundaries every time God sets something up. So one thing I want to mention is that there is no absolute government except for God himself. And that's kind of easy to say, Nick, because if God sets it up, he becomes the absolute, right?
He's the boss. Yeah.
Right.
And freedom for a Christian means not absolute freedom to do whatever I want. Freedom to live a life in accordance with the way God set up the world. So live a life fulfilling my role as a husband and a father, fulfilling my role as a citizen underneath a magistrate God had put above me, filling my role as a member of a church under elders who God has put above me, and doing right. What I mean by that is living according to God's word underneath that authority. So when we think of freedom, like we're a free country. Well, what the people who found this country meant by that was freedom to live a virtuous life, not libertarian freedom to smoke weed and eat light, cheat, and steal. That's a totally different conception of freedom we have than what people who founded this country had. Because believe it or not, most of the people who signed the Declaration of Independence and were part of the construction of the Constitution were Christians, or at least influenced heavily by Reformed Christian doctrine. Mm-hmm. I mean, Thomas Jefferson cut out a lot of stuff in the Bible, but he then said that was a mistake. And he was informed, he breathed so much of the way the Bible sets up the world that he had no conception of the kind of libertarian freedom that people think about today. Whatever I want.
Well, I mean, the Bible clearly states, like, we were slaves to sin, but we literally become then slaves to righteousness.
Slaves to, righteousness. Defined by God, righteousness.
Correct. And that's what we talked about last week, right, is definitions. Clearly speaking, let God define those roles. And so that's why we titled this whole podcast, everything we're doing in the clearly speaking, is because we are saying God has spoken. God has spoken very clearly on a lot of things. Now, there are things that he has mystery-wise that we don't know, but he's given us everything we need in Scripture to live a life of not worldliness, not accompanied by the world, but to live a life of godliness, because he is in control. He is the boss, like you said.
What does Jesus say? Come to me, my burden is light. So that doing that is light, is good for you. Human flourishing, you know, it's for your good.
Absolutely. And so I want to run through what the Bible talks about government, right? And so we have self and civic and church, and we have our family government, right? So in normal times, those responsibilities are this, right? So the civil magistrate is the ministry of justice and protection. The family is the ministry of health, education, and welfare. The church is the ministry of the word and sacrament. That lays out who we are and their roles that they play. And so civil magistrate, which is the big one right now, right? This is what everybody's talking about, is a civil magistrate. And it's the ministry of justice and protection. So it brings to justice evildoers, and it protects good doers. And we've got verses for these. You know, you got Peter, got Romans 13 that people have been seemingly taking out of context quite a bit in this time, right? And they're taken out of context because we have people, respected people, I would say, in at least America, and I'm sure in other countries, but that believe in absolute authority being given to other dominions, I guess. People. I don't know what you call it, but other people, right? Instead of just having, because God's the absolute, they say, well, God then gives the absolute to these people, which is, and they use Romans 13 and they'll use 1 Peter for that. But it's not true, because the same people who wrote Romans 13 and Peter got crucified for not
defied authority. Yeah.
Right. So like that, I mean, we got some people who will even say, like, the midwives in Egypt, right? When Moses was saved from being killed because they pushed him on, right? They were told by the king to go and kill all these Israelite babies. Go kill them.
Yeah.
We don't want them anymore. And they said, okay. And as they're walking away, they're like, no, we're going to obey God, not man. Yeah. And that's the first time
he's powerful, but he's not ultimately powerful. Yeah,
exactly. But we have people who will say they sinned. They sinned because they did not obey authority. And it's like, really? Because then in Hebrews, we've got the hall of faith, right? And it's like, it said it was counted to them as righteousness for doing that. And it's like, I don't know how sin has ever been counted as righteousness ever.
Your point's right, because to say that, you have to think that Pharaoh had ultimate authority. Well, but they were submitting to God, who is the ultimate authority. So they were submitting to the moral. I mean, if you've got a choice between, you know, this X says this, if we're going to obey God or we're going to obey man, we're going to obey God. So if the government says close your church, not saying it's wrong for a time, maybe the elders decide to close the church, but in general, if the government says close your church, but God says don't neglect the gathering of the brethren, who are you gonna follow?
Right.
You probably should follow God and let the ships fall where they lay. Let him decide, let him pass judgment on the people telling you to shut down and what their punishment are for you shutting down, all that?
Well, let's look at some of the people who have shut down, like, and some people shut down in March and said, hey, we're shutting down now. We're not opening up until maybe next year. And that was last March, yeah. You know, and it's like, whoa, like that's kind of jumps the gun yeah. here. Like we don't know what's going
what's
on.
Gonna happen. Yeah. Right?
And they did it. And literally they would say, like, look at us. We're so good. We're such good Christians that we're following a government, right? Look at us. Look at us. And then you got the other side who some of them never shut down, right? Some of them shut down for a time, which again, I give so much grace to the elders and to people who shut down because we were so confused. There was just all kinds of craziness.
It was reasonable at the beginning. They're saying there's going to be bodies in the streets. So it's like, okay, right. that's reasonable at the beginning. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I'm not saying that the ones who shut, but now the ones who are staying open, because they're still, I mean, you got Canada right now who people are getting arrested.
Arresting people.
For having church.
Fining millions of dollars. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got those people saying, and some of them might even be saying, look at us, look at us. But the look at us tagline at the end is different. You know, look at us. We're good Christians because we're following God's word.
We're doing
word.
What the government says.
Right. And so it's still bringing glory to God. The other one's like, look at us, because we're following authority. That now they might even say, see, look at us. We're such good Christians. We're following Romans 13. It's like, well, I don't know if you've read Romans 13.
Or did you read Acts?
Right. Yeah. I don't know if you're quite reading the whole Bible here. Maybe you just pulled out Romans 13. Maybe you were Thomas Jefferson and cut everything out. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we want to make sure we set that up. And the other thing I want to make sure I set up too is so what Nick and I are trying to say is like Doug Wilson says about not being a scofflaw, right? We're not saying that every time the government or the church comes in with new regulations or laws or whatever that you should be like automatically, nope, not going to do it. Not nope. We make our own rules. We make our own laws because we're Christians. No, because God makes the laws for us. God makes the rules. We don't set up our own rules. We're not anarchists. You are not to go out and overtake government. Like, it's just not supposed, that's not how that works. And through history, we see that. We see the church overstepping its bounds. We see self, like the first sin, the very first sin in the world was self overstepping its bounds. And that was Adam and Eve and Adam taking the fruit. It was himself. It was his own selfishness, his own pride saying, hey, what God has for me isn't good enough. I want more.
I know better than God. Yeah.
I know better than God, which by the way, anytime a government oversteps its bounds, it's we know better than God. Right? So whether it's self, yep. church, family, whatever, it's I know better than God, which basically is saying I am God. I am a God. And it's like, that's idolatry. And so that's what scares me. The other thing I want to bring out is anytime the world uses biblical language to persuade you when they're not living biblically, you probably need to double check yourself. And so for instance, you have love your neighbor, wear a mask, and you have those things, right? And it's like, well, you can't take from scripture, right? If you're not following scripture, like, by the way, Satan did that to Jesus and to try to tempt him. Yeah. Right. And that's an appeal to try to get you to fall into line. Right. And you can't change the definition of what love is in a government or whoever, like, that's not your job. God's already defined what love is. And so just stop trying to do that. So whenever that happens, just be on the lookout. Check it, make sure. I'm not saying it's always bad, but I'm saying anytime the world starts to use biblical language, and we have one of the best things with examples of this is Gavin Newsom, right? Whenever he got caught eating in public and at a big event after he just posted a law about not eating with so many people and all this stuff, you know, at that time. And he got caught, like people took videos, which I'm like, who was this person there? Like, who was taking these videos? Like, if this was like communist North Korea or something, like his head would be chopped off. But here he is eating and he comes out and he starts using, if you go back and watch a clip that he starts using biblical language about grace and forgiveness. Like, whoa. And this guy does not claim to be a Christian whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, that was like one of the first times I was like, that's kind of that's kind of freaky, you know, like that's kind of weird.
Yeah, and stop borrowing my words.
So that, I hope we set up kind of the governments. I hope we set up kind of the ground rules here is no, it's not tyrant first. It's not scofflaw first. It's not anarchy first, or anarchy ever. But it is like Nick said, it's, we are under authority and there's one ultimate authority and it's God, and God sets up bounds. And that's our first go-to, is what does God have to say about this? Not, how does this make me feel? Well, I don't like it. I don't like this. I don't like, yeah, nobody cares. Like, it's, how does God feel about this? What's he say about this? And then go from there and let that change your feelings, change your actions. And that's the start. So I want to set this up, Nick. So this is the lesser magistrate. So what happens when governments, whether it's family, civic, self, church, what happens when they overstep their bounds? What is a Christian to do, and how do we go about that? So, Nick, I'm going to let you kind of go into what we're talking about and where we're getting this from.
So, to back up a little bit, give a little bit of history, we're discussing a thing called the Magdeburg Confession, which was written in about 1552 by a bunch of pastors in Magdeburg, Germany, where I'm visiting today. Brief history. So Luther nailed his 95 theses in Wittenberg on in 1517. And then a couple years later, 1521, he gets brought in front of the emperors and the Pope's signed guy. And they say, hey, you gotta renounce all this stuff you've written and get back into the Catholic fold, or you're going to be in trouble. And he said, well, no, I'm not going to do that because it's not true. And he said, unless I can be convinced on by pure reason or the word of God, here we get the word of God again. I could do no other. So they were going to allow him to go home, but then everybody knew he was going to be arrested and death for defying the civil magistrate. So his they call it a protector, but it was sort of like if you picture the United States president as the Holy Roman Emperor and then Governor Holcomb as the protector. His Governor Holcomb kidnapped him in the middle of the night and hid him. So then he had to write a defense of that. Why was that okay? Why was it okay for this magistrate to push back against the Holy Roman Emperor, who was the head guy? And then, so he initially got this sort of idea rolling. Why is it okay? And then, so there was this tension grew between the Protestants in Germany and other places in Europe and the Holy Roman Emperor. So then in 1531, the Protestant protectors all got together and formed a thing called the Schmalkaldic League, which was, we said, we're going to defend each other against the Holy Roman Emperor. So again, you have this idea of lower magistrates defending their people and their right to worship the way they want to against the upper magistrates. And a lot of these guys wanted to actually go to war over it. Luther said, no, you shouldn't go to war. That this is, we should be in a defensive posture and trying to convince them with our words. Well, he died. So once he died, these guys had a little more gumption and they decided, well, we know Charles the Emperor is getting more provocative and we know he's going to attack us. So we're going to preemptively attack him. So they preemptively attacked him, which caused a war that the Protestants lost because the Holy Roman Emperor had lots more men and lots more munitions and lots of people died. So they ended up having a peace called the Augsburg Interim. And a lot of Lutherans, because they had seen so many people die, even like Luther's lieutenants, backed off and said, okay, well, we'll come back into the fold. We'll try and reach some agreement with the Catholic Church on where we can all kind of get together because we don't want all these people dying because this wasn't good, this war we just had. One city said, no, we're not going to do that. We don't believe that there are seven sacraments. We don't believe transubstantiation. We don't believe the hopes of the vicar of Christ. We don't believe all these things, the same thing Luther didn't believe in, the same things we wouldn't believe in. And this was Magdeburg, Germany. And eventually, the Emperor Charles sent his army and they surrounded and they sieged Magdeburg. So these guys wrote a confession and said, this is why we think it's okay for us to defy the Holy Roman Emperor. why does Romans 13 not say we need to submit to this guy in everything? So that's what we're talking about. This was the first time. So Luther wrote a little bit of an argument. These guys fleshed it out and made it mm-hmm. more robust.
Calvin wrote a little bit about Romans 13, but none of these guys went deeper. And we think the reason why they didn't go deeper is because they really weren't like Calvin was Geneva, right? And so he got pushed out of France, which is where he's from, and ended up in Geneva. And Geneva loved him. Like they were peaceful with him, and they were okay with him. So it's like he didn't have the same reason why we haven't talked about, or at least the majority, I think, like John MacArthur,
no need
people have talked about it for a while. But there was really no need to talk about these things because the government was borderline, but it wasn't like really, really like blatantly taking steps over their bounds, right? Until now. Well, this is the same reason. There were really no reason to flesh it out completely, even though Calvin and Augustine and Luther would say there is no absolute authority other than God. Like Romans 13 doesn't give them freedom to do anything they want to do. But the Magdeburg Lutherans took it a step further because they're like, hey, this isn't right. And we have to, because they're really pushing our hand here.
The emperor's armies are surrounding us. We have to know why. and they published lots of pamphlets, and they published this as a written document in Latin, which was the scholarly language of the day. So they were making the argument to everybody around them, why is this right? And they ended up winning. Mm-hmm. After about a year of siege, the emperor backed off and then allowed regional religion. So if us in Indiana wanted to all be Protestant, we could be, and the emperor would leave us alone, essentially. Mm-hmm. But
and did they win this by document, war, or did they win this by God's word, like them just saying we're not going to
by God's word?
Yeah. They weren't picking up arms at this point. They were kind of got pushed into a corner, and they had to just kind of hold up shop, kind of like John Knox did or whatever, but hold up shop right here. And that's where they started writing all these things and kind of publishing and putting them out. Correct?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. They didn't kill. I mean, they surrounded it, and eventually the emperor just decided, hey, this isn't, these people are winning the war of the hearts and minds of the people of Germany. I've got to let this go, or else I'm going to have a bigger revolt on my hands, essentially.
I love that. I just love that so much, but yeah.
And essentially what they outlined is kind of what we've been talking about, that there are governments, God's given them spheres of authority. So parents have a sphere of authority in the home, and they have the rod to punish their kids, and they're supposed to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And then there's the civil government, and it outlined that if one government oversteps its bounds, it is necessarily stepping into the bounds of another government, and it's that government's duty under God to push back. And it outlined four levels of pushback. One would be, and I try to think of examples for this. So one would be like a seatbelt law, right? So we have seatbelt laws. Does the government really have the right to tell me put a seatbelt on my car? No, not really. That's not really punishing evildoers, which is what Romans 13 gives them the right to do. But it's not excessive, and it's not atrocious, and it's not a big deal for me to follow it. So that's kind of like would be a level one, where it doesn't affect you a lot. It's not a sin, and that's a big thing that the people in Magdeburg talk about. If a government ever tries to entice you to sin, it's your duty not to sin, because
at any of these levels, right? They add that
that's when people
every single level,
every one of them. And that's because when people say, well, you got to, Romans 13 says you have to submit, I always just think, I immediately go to, well, if you were in Nazi Germany and Hitler told you to flip the switch on the gas chamber, would you do it? And that's kind of a ridiculous example, because everybody would say, no, of course I wouldn't do it. But that's if the government's asking you to sin, that's an egregious sin. So everybody knows it. But if a government comes and tells you, to commit some smaller sin, even though it's still a sin, you're still bound by God not to do it. So level two injustice would be, there's four levels. Level one is kind of the seatbelt. You can go along to get along. It's not asking you to sin. It's not a big deal. Go ahead. Level four is excessive. They're attacking God himself. So the government says you're not allowed to worship. So I think of China. This is, you're not allowed to gather for corporate Well, that's a level 4 offense, and you have a duty. The elders have a duty to resist that, and individual families have a duty to resist that because they are called under God to worship. Don't neglect the gathering of the brethren. So, mm-hmm. and one another each other. You're supposed to sit under word and sacrament. The elders are supposed to administer the sacraments and preach the word, and they're supposed to do church discipline. And if the government's not allowing you to do that, then that's a level 4, and you have a duty to simply just not comply, and to push back. And then there's level 2 and 3, which are one they call sort of the lawless tyrant, and 3 they call the coercive tyrant, which is kind of in the middle. And again, go along to get along, don't sin, ask your magistrate above you. So if the governor, the governor puts out a mask mandate, which is he's overstepping his bounds on my face and my ability to make decisions to keep my family healthy. The way to address that is not to burn down the governor's mansion, but the way to address that is simply, if you feel like for me, I feel like it's a lie for me to wear a mask because I don't feel like they're useful, and I'm duty bound not to lie. So as far as it goes for me, I don't wear a mask now.
Facebook. You're going to get us kicked off Facebook.
Probably. Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
we're going to get disinformation pop up now.
But now if, like a restaurant or some store requires me to do it to go in and buy their stuff, I'm going to do it because that's their,
you're going to go somewhere else.
I'm going to go somewhere else. Now, the other thing, the other duty I have is to ask the intervening intermediary, the way our system is set up, is to ask the state senator and state representative, maybe the mayor, the sheriff, hey, can we push back against this overreaching order? Because that is your job. Your job as the intermediary between me and the governor, right, is to push back on these sort of tyrannical overreaches. So that's another call we have as Christians, to call those people in those positions, because God put those people there too. And their duty is to look both directions, enforce righteous orders on me if I murder somebody, and then push back against unrighteous orders from above.
We gotta understand that this is American Christians. So yes, Christians in America, this is how we can do things. Communist yep. countries, whatever, it's not like that. The principle is still true. Like, you use whatever government is set up. And by the way, no government, civic government, is spelled out that this is how you should be set up. It doesn't say socialist is bad or communist is bad or anything. It doesn't necessarily say that, right? It's talking more of how they rule, which is, here's the boundaries, right? It's protection
yeah.
For good and justice for evildoers. God doesn't necessarily care what we come up with system-wise, right? I believe, and it'd be hard, this is why America got started, right? Because they thought, okay, we've seen all these overreaches, let's try to protect against these overreaches, right? And let's try to set up these things, checks and balances, so that way we don't turn into, because I'm telling you, it would be really hard for a communist country to just stick to justice and protection. Right? Because there's a lot of power given to a communist leader, right?
Yeah, and one of the commandments is thou shalt not steal. So if your system is based on theft, then you've got a problem.
But personal
property is in the pen.
Right? Kings are kind of communists. I mean, that's what it was. Like, I mean, kings in the biblical days and all that stuff, like, that was, they didn't call it communism, but I mean, they were set up. Like, the king had ultimate authority in their sphere of land. So you said something wrong, they chop your head off, right? They throw you into the lion's den. They throw you into fiery furnaces, whatever, right? And so it was tough. That's why I think there were so many. I mean, it's tough to get all that power and not let it go to your head, right? Even David let it go to his head at times, right? Yeah, and there were good kings and there were bad kings, right? And but just all that was said to say, hey, yeah, this is how in America we have this set up, to where we have levels of authority that should be set up to listen and protect their individual places, and then appeal to higher authorities for us.
And that, like, so, like, if you think about, in Daniel, where the emperor says, don't, you know, pray to me, don't pray to your regular God. And Daniel ignores that and prays to God. Well, that emperor was doing a level 4 offense. He was attacking God himself and attacking our relationship with God himself. So that Daniel had a duty then as an individual to ignore that. And then God
Nick,
was faithful.
How many Christians today would just say, because I've thought about this a lot, would just say, but I'll just pray to myself. Like I'll pray in my head. God will hear it. I don't need to pray in public. Like, I just don't. How many Christians would say, well, I'm just going to, like Daniel could have went home, because it said he did it right then, which
shut
I think
the,
is just
shut
awesome.
The windows and prayed.
Yeah, he could have closed himself in a closet. He could have hidden a bathroom. I don't know what kind of bathrooms they had, but he could have hid anywhere, right? And went and prayed in his own home. But he did. He went and he opened the windows and he prayed facing Israel. And you know, they've done searches and studies on that. Like, that meant that all of the land were like looked at David. Like they could see his house, like, because where he was facing. Now, you had to look up and actually see it. Well, just so happens they did. You know, they looked up, they saw it, and they said, wait a second, you're not supposed to be. And they did it on purpose. They're trying to prove it. But what I'm getting at is the same thing with the mask on stuff. Like, how many Christians would just say, but like, he's not really coming against God, because this is my faith. This is my thing. This is a personal thing. And so I'm just going to pray silently inside of me. Because you can pray, and by the way, you can pray while you're walking. You can pray you go to the mall. You can walk through the malls and pray, and no one would know it, right? Because you're just doing it in your head to the Lord. No one would know it. But Daniel didn't do that, and so that's where I always go to that one, because that one's like it's not an atrocious per se. Like here is a golden idol, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right, here's a golden idol. You will come every time you hear this sound, and you will bow down before it. Like, this was just, and it was a time limit too. It was 30 days in there. For 30 days, you don't pray to anybody but me. And it's like,
well, it would have been easy to say, okay, I'll just wait 30 days. Not a big deal.
Exactly. But what was it? Was it 15 days to slow the spread or something? Is what we've had, you know? So just 15 days. It's like, all right, yeah, you know, we can lock up for 15 days. Not a big deal. And that now has turned into more. So, Nick, what do we do? Okay, so we went through like, hey, there's 1, 2, 3, and 4, you know. And again, these are what they said. I really like that they broke it down. And they gave levels, and they said, hey, there's certain things that are atrocious that need to just be stopped completely. The one thing, the overarching thing is anything that goes against God's word, like anything that's going to get, stop, like don't do it. So what do we do? We're in America right now. We have, you're in Germany, but you're not, you're in America, we have Christians who are just asking this question. Is it okay? And then some Christians are asking the question like, hey, it's not just the government, but it seems like it's my church authority that's kind of overstepping its bounds. So any authority that oversteps, what's the Christian to do?
Sure.
According to them, according to what you believe.
I think one of the things that the Magdeburg Confession talks a lot about is doctrine of vocation. So knowing what you're called to do, and that didn't just mean like the job you had, but where God put you. So are you a magistrate yourself? Everybody is in a certain sense, because you're the head of a family. If you're a guy, you're right. Wife. So it starts at home. So you got to, do right by what you're called to do. So do a great job at your job, whatever that is. Raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And another thing the New Testament talks about is praying for your people that are in authority over you. So start there. Pray for Joe Biden that he would come to know the Lord and repent of his sin and lead us into righteousness. And then where you're able, follow God's word. which goes back to doctrine of vocation. So, you know, meet with the saints on the Lord's Day because you're called to do that. If your church is still closed, then find a church that's open and be in conversation with your elders about what's going to happen if the government tries to shut down your church again, and be praying for them that they make a good, righteous decision. You know, be cognizant of overreaches in higher governments, so you can get to know your most local government. So know your county officers, know your sheriff, get to know those sorts of people that are the magistrates that are in between you and the people. You know, because Governor Holcomb could put out an edict, and I don't know Governor Holcomb. There's not much I could do about that. But if I know the sheriff well, I may be able to convince the sheriff to not enforce that, which is what happened with the mask mandate in Indiana. Governor Holcomb said, hey, we're going to make not wearing a mask a crime. A bunch of sheriffs all across the state said, yeah, you can't do that, and we're not going to enforce that. So he took that criminal penalty out of it. I mean, we still have a mask mandate, but it has no teeth. So it's a recommendation. Yeah. And well, that was an instance of the lesser magistrate doing what it was supposed to do, saying, hey, you know what, Governor, you're not allowed to do that. So that's kind of where I think we are here is, you know, these bigger, higher magistrates have so much power and so influential. The best thing we can do is to have the influence we can on the people that we know, that we see in our day-to-day lives, that a lot of them are, you know, a lot of these people in Washington, D.C., I'm not sure are Christian, but a lot of the local people are. And you can call them and say, hey, you know, you're a Christian in this magisterial role. You know, you've got a duty in front of God that you're going to have to answer for someday about how you conduct yourself. And God says this, and this is, you know, you shouldn't enforce.
So, Nick, you're not saying, again, you already said not to. You're not saying storm the Capitol. You're not saying storm the governor's mansion. You're not saying Christians should be a part of those type of overseas in this day and age or this thing. But kind of like Magdeburg did, you're saying we need to preach the word, the whole counsel of God, right? We need to adhere and try to have the governments adhere to the word of God by preaching the word of God, right? And that never stops. But by the way, like that's what the Puritans, that's what the apostles, what they got killed for, right? That's what they were martyred for, were preaching the word and calling people to know that God is king, that Jesus is Lord. And that went right up against everything these emperors and these Caesars and these kings wanted to hear, right? The same thing, by the way, it goes directly against what our government in our country wants to hear. It goes directly against what North Korea, what China, what Canada, what they want to hear. They don't want to hear that we don't fully 100% adhere to them, but we fully 100% adhere to the Lordship of Christ.
Authority on heaven and earth has been given to me.
Right, right. And so, that means 100%. Like, I don't know how many times we could 100. Well, yeah, but God says in Romans 13 that yes, we do pray for our authorities. We do adhere to our authorities inside of their bounds. Absolutely, 100%. And that we would. We got to keep saying this. Like, we're not saying that government is bad. We're not saying that any government, whether it's family, whether it's that's bad. We're saying they have specific roles to play, and that glorifies God when we fulfill those roles in any government. And so what you were saying is we got to know who we are. Where has God put us? What influence do we have? One, we all have influence to preach the gospel. We all have influence for that. Like no Christian here. You don't have to go to college for this. You don't have to have a master's of divinity or be a doctor. You don't have to have that to have the authority to preach the gospel. We have that. God's
by
given
nature
us that
of your baptism.
Yeah. Correct. Go and preach the gospel. Right. And but the gospel is the whole counsel of God. And so that's what we're calling people to do. So if anybody gets anything out of this, it's read your Bible and stand firm on the word of God. And if you do that, I promise you, it will come in direct conflict with worldly, ungodly people. Like, it just will.
Yeah.
So be ready. Be ready for that, because it will come in conflict with that. But we also want to encourage you in the fact of when that happens, know, just like, man, the Magdeburg is such a cool thing to read, such a cool thing in history, right, to read, because they didn't pick up arms. They didn't take guns or bows or whatever to fight off their government. They used the sword, which is the word of God, which is a double-edged sword, right? They used it, and it prevailed. So just know that God will grow his church, and as a believer, as a Christian, you are a part of that church. It might hurt. It might not feel comfortable at times, right? I'm sure they didn't feel the greatest when they were kind of in Magdeburg, where they were kind of like cornered into this one little area, and they're like trying to say, we could die. They could, at any point in time, they could just come in here and kill us all, right? I'm sure that wasn't
the most powerful man in the world sent his army. Yeah.
And here they are writing against it, right? Here's why it's okay for us to come against you, King. And it's like, oh crap, like the king could just come and kill us all. You know? So I'm sure that wasn't like, I'm sure there was lots of fear and prayer going on, but they were strengthened because they were being obedient to the word. And so
they knew it was right.
Exactly. And so be encouraged, believer, be encouraged, Christian, to stand firm on the word of God. And it might cost you your life, but know that this life isn't what we're living for anyways, but we're living to be in the kingdom of God. And that is why we do what we do.
Amen.
All right. Hey, Nick, man, we could go on for like probably 4 hours. It's good. It's good that we have a stopping point. So we hope you guys enjoyed this. We hope you guys get something. If you have questions, if you have comments, if you want verses, we've got them, right? Like we got it all wrote out. We didn't have time to necessarily read all the verses to come through, but we've got that. I can send you notes on this. Nick's got notes on this. So if you want that, feel free to reach out to us. We hope you guys are liking this. We hope you guys are encouraged and learning something from this. But this is just what we do. This is kind of typical what me and Nick talk about all the time. We just thought, hey, let's throw it on here. So we hope you guys enjoy
it.
Yeah, let's record it. But this is for Nick Dahl. I'm TC Cook. This is Clearly Speaking.